Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, you mind if I work in here? Oh, wow, you're Seth Payne. I'm a huge fan.
Hey, what's up? I'm Seth Payne, 10-year NFL fan of Mad Radio, 6 to 10 a.m., Sports Radio 610. I'm trying to get back into my playing straight, you know? Trying to go back to being the real Seth Payne. I just want to push some guys around, you know?
That's my dude Seth Payne right there. Actually, the fake Seth Payne, courtesy of Josh Beard. Seth's out there at Texans OTA practices. He joins us now live on Sports Radio 610, giving us a behind-the-scenes view of what's going on the field. Seth, your biggest takeaways out there going on at NRG?
My biggest takeaway immediately, honestly, the first thing I noticed when I walked onto the field was Dylan Cole working off to the side with some of the injured guys coming off of surgery. He looks yoked as hell. And then my other initial takeaway is when I went out, the first group I watched was the offensive line. And Brian Gain has talked a lot about length and strength and how much he wants out there. This is a big roster. Like, he's building a bunch of dudes that look scary as hell getting off the bus. That obviously doesn't win you any championships. But on the offensive line alone, you've got guys that are 6'8", 6'7", all over the place. And then in the defensive backfield, the two guys that jumped out at me, just because they catch your eye, are one, Lonnie Johnson, the draft pick from this year, and then Deontay Burton, also is 6'2". They've got some length in the defensive backfield, and Lonnie Johnson put it to good use. So my first impression was just on the size and how Brian Gain is starting to make this roster look a little bit like he probably envisions in his brain.
All right, let's talk about what else you saw on the defensive side. Obviously, J.J. was working out on his own, as Aaron Wilson reported, in the facility.
Yeah, no J.J.
Yeah, no J.J. What are you seeing up front?
Look, up front, it's hard for the interior defensive linemen because mostly you're just trying not to trip anybody up and you're just trying to get a good rhythm going and get into the gaps. The two things I noticed were Brandon Scarlett was getting a lot of work, and he's a guy that I keep waiting for him to kind of have a breakout year, because every year I see him, it looks like he's improved his technique. I thought last year he took a big leap forward with his technique, and then today he was getting some good work in. Whitney Merciless, right before I left the practice field, had a couple of really good snaps versus Titus Howard. Now, this could either be awesome for Whitney Merciless, or it could be scary for Titus Howard. I think it's a little bit of both. Like, Whitney looks like Whitney, and he's going to be just fine. Titus Howard did some good things out there today, but there were a couple of snaps versus Whitney Merciless where it was a little bit of a welcome to the NFL moment. Because Whitney beat him to the outside first, and then on the next play, you could tell Titus Howard was probably a little bit nervous about getting beat to the outside, so Whitney beat him with a spin move to the inside, and it would have been a sack on Deshaun Watson. It honestly was nothing that I would worry about, other than that, like, it's good to see that stuff. It's good to see Titus Howard getting a whole bunch of work. He got a lot of work today, and they were moving him around all over the place.
Talking to Seth Payne live at OTAs. He's at Texans practice giving us a behind-the-scenes look. What about Deontay Foreman? There's been a lot of talk about Deontay coming back after a disappointing last season where he only played one game and then had a cameo in the playoff game. How did Deontay look to you?
I was a little bit nervous that, you know, these reports of Deontay Foreman being svelte and working out all the time were just Texans radio propaganda. It was not. Deontay Foreman looks svelte as hell. He looks very, very good. He almost looked like a different guy than when he showed up his rookie year. And I thought he was moving very crisply. I thought when he was out in space, when he was acting as a receiver, I thought he looked really good. So for whatever that's worth out there with no pads, just athletically, if you had told me, you know, pick out the guy that had an Achilles tendon tear a year and a half ago, there's no way I would have guessed Deontay Foreman.
You mentioned that they were moving Tytus Howard around. I'm guessing Mike Devlin was in his ear the whole time. And what else was standing out just on how they ran these guys out there? I know it's not contact, but how they ran them out there.
Tytus Howard is getting a lot of work. And I don't know if I've talked to you guys about this. I'm not really complaining about them moving offensive linemen around anymore, because I think it's a necessity in today's NFL, because they're being so careful about resting guys when they need rest, pulling them out of practice if they look like they might be getting close to an injury. You have to worry about the concussion protocol. I think they do need to know more offensive line spots than they used to. But Tytus Howard, you could tell today they were going to say, hey, we're gonna throw everything at you and let's see how you respond. Because he was playing left tackle, he was playing right tackle, he was playing left guard, and Devlin was coaching him pretty hard. You know, you heard Devlin singling out Tytus Howard a few times, both good and bad, but they were really coaching him. And I thought he looked like he handled it pretty well. He's in really good shape. He's in good condition. And for as many reps as he was getting, I don't think he ever looked tired. I don't think he ever looked out of control. I think he looks athletically like he's going to be able to handle it just fine. It's just a matter of getting him on speed with all the technique work right now.
Talking to Seth Payne live at Texans OTAs. The guys are practicing. You're going to hear from Bill O'Brien at 1 o'clock. One of my favorite things to look at OTAs is the coaches. And I just think, like, the new coaches and just how they interact with the players. There's two new, very well-known coaches out there, TJ Yates and Brian Cushing.
What are these guys doing? You know, Cush.
What are they doing during practice?
Cushing is huge. Cushing is a monster. He looks really fit. Like, you wouldn't – he's another guy, if you went out and you didn't know anything about him, you know, he's still obviously very young, and you would think that he was a player or something. He was out there. It's a really good question. I didn't really pay attention to what he was doing or which position group he
was
working
with. I'm so intrigued by Cushing on the sidelines and everything like that. You have no idea.
Oh, no. I saw that look in his eyes, like he still wanted to hit somebody. And it's hard. When you first get into coaching and you're out there, you have that urge. Like, you just, it doesn't feel right to stand on the side. You just want to get out there and hit somebody. He looked like he had that look in his eyes. TJ Yates, I'll tell you, TJ was standing on the sideline. The only time I noticed him was when Deshaun threw to a receiver who was going out of bounds. It didn't look like that the receiver got his second foot in at all, but TJ ran up and ruled it a reception and got booed pretty heavily by the defensive backs. But that's how TJ's making it. TJ's keeping things light out there.
I don't know how much you got to see the tight ends, but Kahale Waring has been talked about from the day he was drafted. Anything stand out at all?
We noticed in the rookie minicamp last week that he looked really good and athletic. I think the thing that stuck out today was they were outside. And you already knew he was put together well, but he had his sleeves rolled up, and he was running around. This dude's kind of a specimen. Like, he's kind of a physical freak. And that doesn't do anything for you at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But if you go on Brian Gaines' whole philosophy of length and strength, this is a big dude. Like, when I used to play against the Baltimore Ravens, back when they won the Super Bowl the first time in the early 2000s, there was an element to that team where, like, you knew you were in for a battle when you went to play them. Like, their offensive linemen were huge. They had just big physical players. Their running backs were, you know, Jamal Lewis. These guys were big and strong. It's starting to look a little bit like that kind of a team on offense. And I know it's a long way to go, but, like, that's immediately where my mind goes to when I look at these guys. And I've included Kahale Waring in that. Jordan Thomas weighs 280 pounds, and he looks more put together even than he did last year.
What about Fells? What about Fells, man?
Darren Fells, I didn't watch that closely today. And again, he's not, I don't think he's as physically imposing as Jordan Thomas, but that's, you know, hopefully with Fells, same thing. This is the guy that can block. Hopefully they start to be a little bit more of a bruising offense this year.
He's listed at 6'7", 280.
Yeah. So he's the same size as Jordan Thomas.
Good Lord. You aren't lying about this, but you're not lying about this coming off the bus thing.
It's cool to see. I mean, one thing I've wanted out of the Texans offense forever is some kind of an identity. Because with Bill O'Brien, it's just felt like every single year, it's a different methodology. It's a different strategy. For a long time, it was a different quarterback. If they can hang their hat on being a tough physical football team that's going to be just bigger than you and be bullies, I'm okay with that. You know, you got to go out and do it well. But at least it looks like they might be starting to get some kind of an identity.
You were talking about this earlier today. Me and Lopez are both sold on the idea of possibly bringing in six-time Pro Bowler Gerald McCoy. We'll get you out of here on this. Yes or no to Gerald McCoy being an addition to this Texans 2019 team?
I would love it. You know, I don't think he's a pure scheme fit. They would have to kind of pick and choose how they were going to use him, and maybe they changed the defense around a little bit. But one thing they're missing right now is really an interior pass rush. They have a bunch of guys that I really like. They've got a lot of defensive linemen that are 325-pound run stuffers who can also push the pocket a little bit, but you would never mistake them for interior pass rushers. I think Gerald McCoy could be that guy. So if they make a play for him, I'd love it. I don't want to break the bank, but I think you can maybe, on a one-year prove-it deal, make a case to Gerald McCoy that, look, there's other teams you can go to where you're not going to be lined up next to J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney or guys like that. Like, you're going to get single blocks. You're going to get opportunities in this defense. And if you want to do a one-year deal and get a better deal, maybe here or somewhere else next year, do what the Honey Badger did this year and use the Texans as your jumping-off spot.
Which is grosser, ranch or ketchup on steak?
Ketchup's grosser because it's sweet. I feel like ketchup doesn't even have a flavor other than it's sugary and acidic. So at least with ranch, you're bringing something else. Neither's acceptable, Landry. I'm not a snob. It's a poor use of money.
Exactly.
If it's a bad steak, then by all means, mask it. But steak is meant to be enjoyed with seasoning and blood, and that's it.
Okay. I got that. There's your take. That's your opinion, Seth. I respect it. Thank you very much for your update. We greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys.
All right, man.
Seth Payne, Mad Radio 6-10, Sports Radio 6-10, former Houston Texan. By the way, he just mentioned the Honey Badger. I'd be hard pressed if I didn't congratulate the Honey Badger on his engagement today.
Oh, really?
The Honey Badger.
He put a $450,000 rock on his, I think, Todd Bowles' stepdaughter's fingers.
Oh,
so
it
the
is.
Honey Badger.
Yeah.
So the Honey Badger is engaged. Congratulations to you, Honey Badger.
And Seth pretty much did the same sales job I did for McCoy. You're sitting there between JJ and Clowney, one-year prove-it deal.
Let's bring him in. Let's talk some more about that. That's Seth Payne live from Texans OTAs. We're going to hear from Bill O'Brien in 30 minutes. Landry Locker, John Lopez in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Let's restate the pitch. Gerald McCoy, bring him in. And you just heard Seth Payne. Brian Gaines' identity is starting to shape up for this Houston Texans. We'll talk about whether that's a good or bad thing next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.